All right, we're on. The mute button fell off, so I'm on. All right, isn't that just amazing? Man, I love being together, celebrating Christmas. Tonight, we celebrate the birth of Jesus and what that means for us. It's a time to take a step back and just be in the moment, be with those relationships that we love the most, and just be fully present. Over the last few weeks, we've lit the various candles that stand for peace, joy, hope, and love. And tonight, we light the Christ candle, the center candle. Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, the light has dawned. Isaiah was a prophet, giving prophecy for what was to come in Christ. He also says this, for us, to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And it will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Remember as we light the candle that Christ is the light in the darkness. So I have a question for you tonight. What's been the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen? Husbands, now would be a good time to look down the row. You, honey. It's all you. Right? What about mountains? How many can remember the first time that you saw a mountain, right? I remember the first time seeing a mountain in Colorado, driving down the road and looking out the window and going, what is that? Like, that is amazing. That is the most beautiful thing, most magnificent thing I have ever seen. That is incredible, right? Like, the first time you see a mountain, you are like dwarfed in its size and you are awed by its beauty. Next slide. When have you seen the perfect sunset? Right? The first time you've seen the perfect sunset, maybe it's on a beach somewhere. Oh, maybe it's combined with seeing the ocean for the first time. But there is just an awe that fills you. That fills your mind, that fills your heart. You're like, this is by far the most beautiful thing I have ever seen. No joke, whenever I go on vacation in a place where I get to see the sunset every day, the first day that I'm there and I go out to see the sunset, what do I say? I'm going to come out and do this every night. There's no way I'm taking this for granted because I can't get this back home, right? I want to share with you a clip. And here's what I want to ask, like, tell you to look for or ask you a question. What do you notice in this clip? It's a clip off TikTok. It's a trend right now. So pay attention and think about, what do you notice in this clip? What did you notice? It was a cup. Yeah. It was a cup. Yep. Did you notice, like, the wonder in the girl's eyes? Like the amazement, the awe of, like, this is the most incredible thing that I'm looking at right now. And then what did you notice about the mom? What was she doing? She's looking at her daughter, right? Going, yeah, this is so cool that I'm watching you respond that way. If you want to try that experiment, it's water and turmeric on a cell phone flashlight. Now here's the next question. What happens when you see the mountain the fifth time? Or the 10th time? Or the 50th time? At first, you see the mountain and you're in awe in its splendor and glory. The fifth time, the 20th time, the 100th time, you're probably just going to drive right by like it's nothing, right? What happens when you see the sunset 50 times? Over the beach, over the horizon, you might be tempted just to walk on by, right? What happens when you find out that it's turmeric in water? And you do it the second time, and your kid isn't quite lit up with the same amazement as it was before, right? You do it a second time, and they're like, eh, we've seen it. The effect wears off, right? The mountains become part of the backdrop rather than the main show. The sunset just becomes another thing that you walk by. It's pretty, but doesn't quite capture you the same. I think that we can be so comfortable with things that we miss the wonder of it all, right? I think that happens with the Christmas story. It's something that maybe you've heard time and time and time again. Maybe you've sat in Christmas Eve services over and over and over again. Maybe it's part of your tradition. Maybe it's something that's easily glossed over. Maybe you're distracted while you're sitting here tonight. It's okay. It's all part of it. And here's a question that I have for you. As we sit here, looking at the Christmas story once again, does it capture your attention? It's right in front of us, and are you gripped by it? Are you captivated by it, or has it become part of the backdrop of your life? Has it become something, you know, just another service we go to or another holiday we gather to gather around as a family? Or is it just another holiday that's just too busy or too many things going on? Has it fallen into the backdrop? What I love most about the Christmas story is that in the midst of kind of this mundane life, something incredible happens. The beauty of Christmas is that Jesus arrives in the most unassuming way possible, right? Jesus arrives in the families of ordinary people that are struggling just to get by, struggling just to plan the next week, struggling with all the things that we struggle with in life. There's a phrase that Rich Velota says as he says this, familiarity breeds apathy. And we can become so familiar with Christmas that it doesn't have the same effect anymore, right? I love the Christmas story because it enters into real people in real situations in real life. Take some of the famous Christmas characters, Elizabeth and Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest. Elizabeth and Zechariah were old, and throughout their lives, they were trying to have kids. You have a couple who's been serving God in every way. In fact, the scriptures say in Matthew that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous. They could do no wrong. They served God with everything they had. And yet, they were sitting there as old people, not able to have kids. All these things would run through your mind, right? They'd be sitting there going, God, I've served you so much. Why can't this happen? This thing that I want most in life isn't happening. Why not? There's all these questions, all these confusions, all this doubt. Do you have questions and confusion in your life? Do you have doubt in your life? Are you waiting for something to happen, praying for something to happen, and you're in the midst of that waiting? You have Mary and Joseph. A husband and wife engaged to be married. Their families are preparing. They have their wedding all planned out, the honeymoon all planned out, the first couple years of their marriage all planned out. And then an angel comes on the scene and changes everything, right? With some news. How would you handle that? an angel shows up and says, hey, we're going to take a little deviation from your plan. We've got something else for you. And that something else is quite large. It's going to change your whole life. It may wreck everything that you had planned. But you're going to have a son. Mary goes, how? You're going to have a son and name him Emmanuel, God with us. And Mary responds with joy at this news. You have the shepherds. The shepherds, it's not a dream job that they have. They're out in the fields. They're feeding the flock. They are protecting the flock. It's an extremely dangerous job. They're warding off wild animals. They're traveling over treacherous terrain, trying to lead their flock towards water, shelter, and food. It is not a dream job of a Jewish boy to become a shepherd. It's kind of the thing that happens when they fail out of everything else, right? So get that image. The shepherds, normal, ordinary guys, not educated, nothing special about them. They live outside with the sheep. And what happens to them? In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. An angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in a town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is the thing that you've been waiting for. This is the thing that your people have been waiting for their entire lives. Today is the day the Messiah is born. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. And then the shepherds looked at each other and said, hey, maybe we should go check this out. God shows up to ordinary guys in a very ordinary profession. There is nothing all that interesting about it. But the angel gives them a message. Today, a child is born to you, to be in relationship with you. Notice the angel doesn't say he's born only if you're qualified. If you can learn enough, he's born for you. He's born only if you pray enough, only if you know enough, only if you live a good enough life. Only if you believe the right thing, only if you say the right thing, only if you have a right profession. Does the angel say any of that? No. The angel simply comes with the good news of Jesus. Hey, you, the lowest on the totem pole, the one that carries no social status with your job or paycheck, the one who goes unnoticed, walking the dark fields at night, and no one even knows you're there, you, that's who Jesus came for. The ordinary person, living an ordinary life. I don't know about you, but there's days when my life feels quite ordinary, right? We have ordinary struggles, doing ordinary jobs, living an ordinary life. There's nothing all that flashy. There's nothing all that amazing about it. Familiarity breeds apathy. And my invitation for us tonight is to see the gospel, see the good news, see Christmas in a brand new light, one of awe and wonder. Because throughout the gospels, these are some of the ways that the gospel writers describe what's happening as we celebrate the birth of Christ. John says this, everything in chapter 1, everything was created through Jesus. Everything came into being through him. What came into existence was life, and life was the light to live by, and the light blazed out the darkness. Darkness couldn't put out the light. That's why we light candles. That's why we are so obsessed with lights at Christmas time. At time when the night skies are the darkest, we light it up with the light of Christ. In verse 14, it says, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's the beauty of the gospel, is that Jesus put on skin and moved into your neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, the Father like Son, the generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Maybe you know the story that Jesus lived his life, a perfect, sinless life, lived his life obedient to the Father. Towards the end of his life, he was arrested and killed, and he rose again 3 days later, rescuing the world from the grip of sin and death and offering rescue to you and I. A transformed, more whole life. And then Jesus sends the Holy Spirit and says, hey, here's the only secret to life. If you abide in the Spirit, if you remain in me, I'll take care of the rest. I will transform your lives. You will receive gifts. You will receive power. You will receive the ability to sustain in life. You will receive hope. If you are with Jesus, he is with you. And then in Matthew puts it like this. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the promise of Christmas, God with you. This is the beauty of remaining, of abiding in him. That as you remain in him, he remains in you. And what does that mean? That means if you're struggling this Christmas, God is with you. If you are worried for your kids this Christmas, God is with you and God is with them. If you are worried for your parents this Christmas, God is with you and God is with them. If your financial situation isn't what you hoped it would be, God is with you. When you get the diagnosis or the treatment, God is with you. When you are tired and worn out, God is with you. The Spirit will even speak on your behalf when you're not sure what to say. God is with you. When you don't know what to do and you don't know what to say, God is with you. It means that Jesus is with you in the waiting. When you are praying and you're hoping and you're struggling, Jesus is with you. When Jesus is your focus, it means that you have peace, and that peace isn't a situational peace. That peace is something far greater, far deeper, that puts everything together in life, even when you don't know how. When you abide in Jesus, it brings you a joy that is unshakable, that isn't based on circumstances, that is based on God. A joy that sustains you and transforms you. So this Christmas, there is an invitation to raise our eyes out of the mundaneness in life, out of the familiar, and begin to notice what Jesus is up to in our lives, in our daily, everyday lives. See, if you make Jesus the center of his life, there's a couple promises that he will sustain you. He will give you power. He will go before you. He will make a way. He will transform your life. He will give you peace, hope, joy, and love. He will give you what you need. He will heal in your relationships. He will make you a new creation. So church, I pray that even in the familiarity of life, that over the next couple days, we can take moments in the midst of the hustle and bustle around us, in the midst of the noise, in the midst of the presence and traveling and all the things, the beautiful things that come with this season. I pray that we can take some moments just to look up and be captured by Jesus. Or another way to put it, abide in him. You might be asking, how do I do that? Well, here's a couple invitations. Pastor Megan shared Sunday, a couple things that you can do is set an alarm and label it Jesus time. And every day set the alarm so that when that alarm goes off, it causes you just to spend a couple moments with Jesus, to become aware of his presence. Another option, you could pray in the morning or pray in the evening to close out your day. I pray that we could take small moments over the next couple days to rise above the familiar and fix our eyes on Jesus and be thankful. Reflection question as the worship team comes up is this: how can you be intentional over the next couple days to be present and focus on Jesus, regardless what's happening in life? Will you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for this chance to come together as a community and celebrate. We thank you for the opportunity to fix our eyes on you, to come together and sing songs about you, to be reminded of what you've done, what you are doing, and what you're going to do. And Jesus, we ask that you make us aware over the next couple days to capture moments with you, to allow you to be our focus, to remain and abide with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing two songs.